Christ will go with you. He will lead you to the throne. He who dyed his garments for you, and the winepress wrought alone. Farther on, still go farther, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. It is better farther on.
At my grave, oh, still be singing, though you weep for one that's gone. Sing it as we once did sing it.
God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings. God gives wings as eagles.
to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line.
Fight, be brave
against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use the soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight, be brave
against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight,
be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by.
One more here. My dad just asked me if I want a cup of coffee. No, I already have something this afternoon, Dad. Thank you, though. All right, let's see here. Where am I going with this? Oh, I know where I'm going. Hold on. This one right here.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing Lions. Our joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right. I hope you can hear me. Just let me know if everything's coming in loud and clear here to you this afternoon on a Tuesday afternoon, which is not usual for me, but it worked out well, and I could get back into the swing of things and get started on Tuesday. So I hope to do another broadcast on Friday afternoon sometime, and looking forward to that. And, you know, Friday mid-morning, 11 a.m. probably is when I'll do it. I'm not sure yet exactly, but should be 11 o'clock Central Time. Should be coming back on for another broadcast then. Not sure what I'm going to talk about yet, but we'll get that figured out all in due time. So it's good to be back with all of you. I missed the broadcast. I miss being out here. I miss teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible to all of you and talking to you and even conversing with trolls, trying to lead them to Christ, to turn trolls, to see God turn those trolls into souls that are saved by the grace of God and walking in the fear of the Lord, and they lose their beastly visage and they turn into the saints of God by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So sometimes you got to interact with those hogs and dogs because God's able to change them and make them new creatures. So it's good to see Ross Duncan. Ross, were you guys out there preaching over there? I think you're in Ireland or Scotland. I'm sorry. Don't get offended if I'm wrong about one of those. But I thought I saw you out there preaching. Was that you guys out there preaching on a video or on a picture or something like that in a downtown area there? Maybe that was you. I'm almost certain it was, but I could be wrong. It could have been somebody else. Oh, well, good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're out there preaching. I wish I was there with you. I'd go with you. Amen. I wish that was possible. I'd be there with you and preach the gospel with you on the streets of your hometown and your area, and it would be a blessing to do that for sure. So I appreciate men of God that'll go out there and preach. And Christians, Christian men that go and lift up their voice like a trumpet, and that preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world that need it so badly. So I'm glad that you're doing that out there. That's a blessing and an encouragement to me as well. And we've got a lot of work to do around the world. We've got a lot of work to do, and hopefully this broadcast can be an encouragement to some of you wherever you're at. You might be a woman, and I don't believe women ought to stand up and lift their voice like a trumpet. I believe there's places for them to witness, and there's a way that they preach, but it's never to leave the station or a place that God has put them in to preach. But they preach to their children, and it's not the same manner as men preach. But it is preaching nonetheless. So I would disagree with some that have women out there standing up hollering and everything else. I just don't see that in the scriptures at all. But according to most men, you know, that's the way they do things out there in this world. They don't care about what the Bible says. They just do what they want. Haven't we seen that before? Anyway, well, God bless you. I hope you all been having a good time. It looks like there was about 27 of you on here, 24 now. I swear they're burying this broadcast so much. Even any of my live stuff, I mean, YouTube just finds a way to bury that so nobody sees it. Rick Warren ordained women pastors recently. No surprise. Rick Warren is fruity, to say the least. And a wolf. False prophet. And God's going to deal with them in the lake of fire. So, you know, we are going to talk about some devil possession here today. But really, we're going to focus in a little bit on this legion, you know, the relationship between this legion and this man and how Christ dealt with them and everything like that. And I don't pretend that it's not going to stir up the devils a little bit. It already has. I know I've had the opposition from Satan because of it, and that's the way it goes. But as my family begins to get settled down into our new home, and it'll take us weeks to really do all of that, or months, I guess, if you will. But as we get settled down into all that and get ready for all those just get kind of relaxed in there a little bit, and I get back into the swing of things at working and serving the Lord and all this. We're going to, Lord willing, see some people hear the truth and share that and all that good stuff, you know, that comes our way. Satan doesn't like the gospel. He doesn't like the truth of the scriptures. He doesn't like those things to be brought out, you know, but God is ever faithful. No matter how many people listen or how many people hear the truth, they're all important to God. Whatever number they are all important to God. And we have to always remember that God cares about the one, right? He cares about the one, even if it's not all the others. So anyway, hi, Danielle. How are you? I hope you're doing well. And let me say hi to everybody. I'll run the gauntlet of the list here. Rachel Marshall was first. Teresa, Daryl's wife. Javier Guapo. I wonder if I said that right. Probably not. Federico Calderon. Elijah Morgan, trucking through Mississippi. Joe McDonald. Still has his farm. Carl Winters. CommieTube. Andrea from Iowa. Then my wife. She's on here. Let's see. Fabian22. My dad got on there to see if I wanted coffee. Lisa, where you been? You just disappeared. Or maybe it was me that disappeared for a few months. I don't know. Let's see. Javier asked me, where do you get these songs? All over the place, Javier. All over the place. America Montesadosa. Samuel Hall. Ross Duncan. Jacob Yates. Jacob, alias Jacob. Betty. Betty's back. Narrowboat Mum. From the UK. The house situation is well, Danielle. It's well, Danielle. How about that, huh? Jacob, trucking through Minnetonka. Caddy Dickinson. Hello from Piper Dawson. Hello, Piper Dawson. Alan Peterson, how are you? All right, so got some more folks here, and hopefully the longer we go, the more we'll get. Boy, I've got some interesting things to show you here today that God showed me yesterday. Started to show me, was it Sunday? No. It was yesterday. And after I'd seen it, I was like, you know, there's some things here I want to teach. I think it'll be helpful. So I thought that I would teach some of these things to you and let's kind of walk through some of these verses here. And here we go. It's coming. Trying to cut me off. You see that? I just said that. It just trying to cut me off. You see that? That old prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, trying to cut me off. No, it's not your internets in the interwebs. It's that old wicked serpent. Frozen buffering. What's the matter with these people? Yeah, they just cut off like 10 people just like that right there. Man. You ever get the feeling the devil hates your guts? Well, I do. Mark chapter 5. Let's get into it. We're going to read some of this account here. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. We better pray first, shouldn't we? Shall we pray? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that's able to listen, Lord. Thank you for those that will hear it. We pray if there be any not saved, that they'd come to Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we just pray you bless us now. Help us and guide us. Keep this broadcast on and help it to be a blessing to those who need it most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, there we go. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. We're going to explain some of that. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of that man. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much, and he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to him, "Depart out of their coast." And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, here we go. Now we're going to get into it here. What an account this is. And you'll find this account in Matthew, you'll find it in Mark and Luke. A little different in Matthew, talks about two men that were possessed, and there's a reason for that, because it was probably, there was another account of it. But we won't get into that today. So, but what we're going to do is kind of examine some of this. We're going to look at what happened. We're going to bounce back and forth from the scriptures and take a look and do some comparison. So the first thing we want to notice is this possessed man is how he is described. How this possessed man is described in the scriptures. Don't worry about what the charismatics say. Don't look at what the world does in movies. Look at what the scriptures say about possession. Don't look for deliverance from the charismatics and how they do it, or whatever preacher or whoever it is, or Benny Hinn or any of these other guys. The deliverance is listed in the scriptures. It's explained in the scriptures, and it's given to you and I for us to understand. So, the first thing we notice is the man described in Mark chapter 5. And he was come out of the ship. Immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He had many of them. But he had at least one of them. And I can't pretend to understand the relationship between the thousands of spirits that were in him. But he had his dwelling among the tombs. He slept in the tombs. Listen to me, friend. He slept in the sepulchers. He slept in the tombs of dead people. What does the Bible say? All they that hate true wisdom, they hate God, love death. So you get around Halloween time and you see all these people that love to celebrate death. They love to be around death. He dwelt among the dead. You know, it says here that no man could bind him. If we back up a little bit, Luke 8:27, if we go over there. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long, long time. It said that he had devils a long time, meaning this man was possessed for a very long time. How do we know how long? We don't. The scripture doesn't tell us. Could have been his whole life. Could have been from a child. We don't know. It just says from a long time. Says in this account that he wear no clothes. He ran around naked. I'm going to tell you something. One thing that bothers me, especially in summertime here. A lot of women have this desire, and men. A lot of men and women have this desire to run around with no clothes on. You know, They run around half naked. The Bible calls them naked. Did you know that, lady, no other man is supposed to see your breasts but your husband? Did you know that your cleavage is not supposed to hang out so some other man sees it? Did you know that you're not supposed to show off your body to other people? That your rear end's not supposed to hang out of your shorts as you walk around in the summertime? That no man is supposed to see that besides your husband? that no one is supposed to see the outline of your body and everything else? I'm going to tell you what, people that want to show off their body like that, that's some demonic activity. I'm not saying they're possessed. I'm saying they're led by devils. They got bad, at the least, they got really bad philosophies of dress. That's a good sign of devil possession when you see that. And by the way, why do you think you see that near water all the time? Here's a hint for you, and we'll get to it. But those hogs ran violently down to the water. We'll explain that. There's a hint for you. Now you try to go to a beach, and the women are in their bra and underwear, or they're wearing... less than that, I guess. Right? Why is that? All I know is when somebody gets saved by the grace of God and they follow the Lord, they get clothed and in their right mind. It ain't normal to take your clothes off in front of people. It ain't normal for you not to be dressed. It ain't normal for your flesh not to be covered. So it describes him as that. He wear no clothes, neither abode in any house. We'll get to that. He didn't abide in any house. Right? So the scripture's describing this man. This possessed man. Look what it says here. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. So he's going to the high places. He's going up and then he's going to the tombs. And he's crying and he's cutting himself with stones. He's crying and cutting himself with stones. Cutting. You want to see a sign of demonic activity? Cutting. Girls that cut themselves. That purposely afflict physical harm. Or boys that purposely afflict physical harm upon themselves. They cut themselves. Scripture says that's a sign of devil possession. That's what that is. Run around cutting himself. He abode in no home. There's a spirit, like the spirit's roaming around. Isolated so he could be destroyed. That's how Satan operates. See, if Satan could get you by yourself and away from others, then he can destroy you. If he can get you by yourself, he'll isolate you. Man, if he can get you sideways with your church, if he can get you sideways with your wife, if he can get you sideways with other people, your friends, godly people, if he can get you sideways like that and get you off by yourself and get you thinking for yourself when it's really, then guess what? He's going to consume you. That's what he does. That's what he did to this man. This man was isolated. So the devil was having a field day with him. He dwelt in the tombs. You know, the scripture tells us that no man could bind him. Right? says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. So he would literally be able to crush and break and spread apart any chains or anything. Kind of like Samson did when Samson, though, had the power of God. Samson had superhuman strength. Samson had the power of God. This man had the power of thousands of devils in him. Which could literally give him superhuman strength. Because that's what it did. That's what happened to him. Right? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, if we turn there, and verse number 28 about this account, says that when he was come to the other side, there met him those two men possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Exceeding fierce. What does that mean? Violent, savage, ravenous, eager to mischief. Right? So that everyone was afraid of him. Everybody was intimidated of him, frightened of him, stayed away from him. So the Bible describes that he was driven into the wilderness by the devil. Remember when Christ was driven in the wilderness by the devil? Or the Spirit of God took him up and drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Well, that wilderness is that barren land. See, Christ suffered that. Christ suffered Satan's onslaught and his assaults and defeated him, so you and I have absolute victory through Christ. That's what happened. Now, Jesus is going to ask some questions here, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." See, you're going to see something here that's quite strange. You're going to see something happen here. Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" Now, Jesus knew his name. He wasn't confused about it. Jesus knew his name. But he wanted others around to see the power of God. "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, you see two things happen here. You see a singular and you see a plural. And the reason for that is the man was still in there. So you see there's a separation there, but also you could see that they're together in the same body. Because he speaks of the singular, and then he speaks of the plural. He answers saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You know, that word legion is four times, that word, its form is four times in the King James Bible. Did you know that three of the times are the same and one of them is different? Okay? The three times the legion is referred to, it's referred to as a proper name, right? Or a name of someone. In Matthew 26:53, Jesus says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" So Jesus shows that he has power over legions of angels that are at his bidding to do his bid, to do the will of God. That number four deals with the spirit world. Every time that word legion is mentioned in the King James Bible, it's dealing with spiritual warfare. That's what it's dealing with. Every time. We have thousands upon thousands and an army of angels surrounding us that are against us and some that before us. But we are surrounded by an army of fallen angels. And not a one of them can touch you unless Christ gives them permission to. Not one of them can harm you. This is a war. You are in a spiritual battle. When you can't understand the things that are going on as a child of God around you and the afflictions that come spiritually into your mind and different things, because Satan smells the blood, he smells the weakness, he smells the anxiety, the fear, and the pain. He smells that and he goes after it and he attacks it. This is a war. That legion, that's a military term. Do you understand that? That's a military term. When he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many," that is a military term. So think about it in the context of around you, a military that's attacking you. Ephesians 6 tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." For, same word as because, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Look at that word. Okay. Principalities is sovereignty, a supreme power, a prince. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan is. You're wrestling against another kingdom. You're wrestling against another kingdom. There is a battle and there is a war. Now, I want you to notice else what that word means, the territory of a prince. Do you understand that? Satan, and I'm going to get to that, is very territorial. Devils are very territorial. Sovereignty, supreme power, a prince. That's what a principality is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He's talking about spiritual principalities. Because he just said you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against the King of England. You're wrestling against the spirit behind the king and the queen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers. That word power has the same meaning as authority. It is power and it is authority. Paul is talking, he's telling you about an army that's after you. He's telling you about an army that is against you. And this one possessed man is possessed by a legion of devils, of fallen angels, of unclean spirits. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. All the darkness, all the pedophilia, all the fornication, all the sorcery, all the drug abuse, all the Faucis, all of it in this world. They're rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what they are. The spirits behind them. They're ruled by devils. That's who they are. Your battle is against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're ruled by Satan. They're led by Satan. They get their power, their seat, and their great authority by Satan. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where was this man at? He was in a high place. He was in a high place. That legion is a military, an army of fallen angels, devils, and unclean spirits. He said, for we are many. A name is legion. For we are many. In Luke 8:30, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, legion, because many devils were entered into him. Many devils were entered into him. The man was full of devils. So when I tell you some of these wicked people, they snort devils like people snort cocaine. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They're full of, some of them are full of devils. They're just full of them. They're full of them. So the Bible tells us these are military terms, and we are to be militant in the spirit world. We're not to be militant and go shoot everybody and fight everybody and join the world's armies and become a killer. No, this is a spiritual battle. See, this is the real war. And it's a legion. And you better believe it's a war. You better believe it's a battle. You better believe it is. That's what we're being told. This is a military term. He wasn't saying that just for the numbers. He was saying that because that's an army. That's an army. That's a legion. Now, that word legion can also describe the man that leads that legion of devils or that legion of soldiers. Or it can describe the entire system. Like in the scriptures when we see beast, right? The beast refers to the beast system or it refers to the man that leads the beast system. See what I mean? It's interchangeable. So that's the same thing. It's interchangeable. Now, I told you that they're very territorial. Christ asked him his name so others would see the power of God and how deeply the man was tormented and possessed. You know, that devil asked him a question. That devil asked Jesus a question then. Right? And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And when he saw, the account in Luke 8:30 says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" "I beseech thee, torment me not." See, "What have I to do with thee?" he asked. They had no love for Christ. They only were afraid of Christ for fear of what Christ could do to them. See, they have to respect, they have to follow authority in that sense. They rebelled once against God, and they continue to rebel against God. But the thing is that they have to recognize his sovereignty. They recognize his authority. And they're afraid of it. They're very territorial. So in Satan's kingdom, with the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, all those different degrees of order, they're very territorial. And see, they recognize authority. The Bible speaks of that authority when you look at the book of Jude. Says here, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness of the judgment of the great day." See, there, those that left their first estate, they were sent to the abyss. These angels didn't want to go to the abyss. These unclean spirits did not want to go there. We're going to talk about that. But they left their legal standing and God dealt with them. That's why I believe that no others have done that again. I believe that hasn't happened again because of that. They were forced to recognize his power and authority. "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God," his authority as the Son of God, they could not ignore. John 14, check this out, John 14:30. You know how they asked the question, "What have I to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of the Most High?" Here, watch this. Jesus said something similar. He said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." We ain't got nothing to do with each other at all. Nothing. He said, I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not. Again, it was an authority issue. They were saying God allowed them to be there, and they appealed unto God to stay there. They were appealing unto God to stay there. They were like, we don't have, has thou come to torment us before the time, before the judgment day? Oh no, God said we could be here. God didn't tell us we couldn't be here. The fallen angels, the devils, the unclean spirits, they have that rank and they have that authority. And they claimed a legal authority to torment that man and that area. See, they said they had a legal authority to do that. That's why Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. You know, Christ's presence tormented them. It's like preaching on the streets. When we preach on the streets, these people come out and they're tormented by it. Why? Because the gospel torments them. The Bible preached to them torments them. That's what it does. See, James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou now, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Jesus was saying that the devils, they believe, they tremble. How foolish are atheists? Not even the devil fell for that sin. But Jesus proves that he's God in the flesh, that he has authority over these spirits. The devils believed and trembled. They trembled. That's why they asked him the question, art thou come to torment us before the time? Are you going to send us into the abyss? But these devils only feared and obeyed when ordered. They had no love for God. You know, there's so many people out there that do the same thing. They don't want to be his disciples, though. Right? Jesus said that in Matthew 7, verses 21-24. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. You know, God warns us, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. They do not want to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Christ. You know, Christ had power to send those thousands of devils into hell right there, into the abyss. He had power to do that right there. They were afraid of that. They knew he had power. What does that mean? That word power also means authority. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. They begged him not to send them to hell before the time. They begged him. So, you know, Satan acts really tough, and he puts up a front, and he acts really scary. But you know what the Bible says to us? It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We're not to be afraid of these devils. We're not to be afraid of them. Christ's name and Christ gives all authority over them. See, the devils know that God is bound by his word and his holiness, and his own name he will not compromise. That he will not act outside of his name. So they knew, that's why they did that. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. This is not that judgment day. See, it's an authority issue. They knew that God had said that they were going to be judged at the judgment day, right? On that day. When God casts them into the lake of fire. So they appealed to God's word. They appealed to God's word and said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. They were a little concerned about that. They didn't want to go into the deep. How much so should lost men not want to go to hell? How much so should lost men beg Christ for salvation and eternal life? How much should you care about your never dying soul? How much should you care about that? And how much should you seek God's face for eternal life? How much should you cry out to Christ if you never have, in repentance and faith, and believe the gospel? These devils were so afraid that God was going to send them to hell. They didn't want to go there. These are devils with massive power over man. And they knew that if they went to the abyss, they were damned there. And they didn't want to go there. How much so should you desire Christ Jesus the Lord to save your soul? They didn't want to be saved. These devils didn't. They didn't want to be saved. You know, you should always remember that we are always outnumbered by an army of devils. They are everywhere around us, but that's no cause for us to be in fear. You know, it's interesting as we go on down this chapter and we look at what Christ did and how he responded to them. Right? Now here they ask, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. We're going to stop there for a second. I'm going to play a couple songs here, and then we'll get right back to it here. We'll take a little bit of a break here. And let's see. How about...
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. And my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel Him in my heart. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, oh yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like you go. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen. All right. Anyway, so let's keep going here. And, you know, we just left off of this, but we were talking about being afraid of these devils and looking at that. And the Lord said, He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. You know, it's important when you're dealing with, if you ever deal with something that's devil possession, or you think it is, or, you know, or even, you know, you feel very afflicted in your mind, that you get someone else to pray for you and with you. And the reason for that is that if Satan can get you by yourself, he can dominate you in so many ways. He can influence you and he can cause a lot of problems for you in that sense. And Satan is very subversive and he's very tricky. And having been tricked by the devil before, I can tell you that especially in matters of the spirit world and in dealing with things like that, if you're trying to face something alone, you can get dominated. I think back to a situation years ago. And I won't get into specifics because God knows and He's going to deal with all that one day. But I think back to a situation before where two devil-possessed people that I thought were God-fearing people, but they weren't. They were transformed for treachery. But, you know, had me basically as a pastor in a position by myself where they were able to really, in that sense, I would say trick me, I guess you could say, by the power of Satan, and to deceive me and to attempt to take advantage spiritually of me in that sense. And I mean that in a spiritual way. But, you know, years later, the Lord showed me the reason for that, that that happened, and it's right here. That you shouldn't do that by yourself. You shouldn't go against something like that by yourself. If you think that there's high demonic activity or something involved, you should have as many God-fearing men with you as possible, and that are praying in the Spirit, and having people pray for you. And you know what? Satan's plans will be thwarted. But in that sense, I learned a valuable lesson. And the Lord has used that and to teach me to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove when it comes to things like that. But you'll learn that. But God gives that power. That power means authority. That's what it means. That power is authority. So that is given. But you'll notice that he has a method of that, and that if at all possible, two would be there to pray together. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. So we understand that. Okay, let's move on here. They desired to be sent into the swine. See, devils have to go somewhere. Right? They got to go somewhere. And they have a desire to possess something. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. They did not want to leave that country. Why? Again, they're very territorial. Some people say that where the tombs were where the tombs were and where they hung out at, where that legion hung out at, there were a lot of criminals that robbed people and jumped people at night and different things like that in that area. A lot of criminal activity, a lot of wicked people in that area. There's a reason why those devils wanted to stay in that country. That was their territory. That was their place. And they liked that place. And they were having much success in that place. And I'm going to show you something here in this story that's going to make a lot of sense to you in a little while. They wanted to go into that herd of swine. They wanted to go into that beast. They knew they couldn't kill that man. They couldn't cause any more mischief at that point, at that time with Christ right there. So they wanted to go into that swine. See, what they wanted to do is they wanted to ruin Christ's miracle. They knew that Jesus was going to deliver that man of 2,000 devils. Or more. That's not a specific number. 2,000 to 6,000, whatever. It could be a great number of them. They knew that Jesus was going to deliver. And they wanted to find some way to snatch the word out of the heart of those people after Jesus had done something mighty like that. Because they knew the testimony of that man was going to be huge when people seen him right. It was going to get talking. Some folks were going to get saved. Some folks were going to get right with God. Some folks were going to want the devils to get out of there. So they said, you know what? Send us into that swine. Devils always desire mischief. You know, these people got mad after this notable miracle was done. They got mad. Because Jesus, he basically just says one word. Right? Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. He just said, go, and boom. They were done. Those devils knew they were done. They knew they could not stay in that man. They were done. But Christ allowed that to happen also for a number of reasons. Number one, if these were Jewish people, they had no business growing hogs. But see, Jews didn't eat hogs. They sold them to the Roman soldiers to make money. So it's all about money. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Just like when Paul cast out the devil out of the soothsaying girl and they couldn't make money anymore, they were angry. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them. To enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. So picture this. I want to give you an idea. Here's a naked maniac sitting in front of you, cutting himself, busting chains, acting like a total psychopath, right? All kinds of different voices coming out of him. Naked and screaming and hollering at people. Boom. Jesus says, go. And they're gone. The devils are gone. There wasn't this long 8-hour exorcism. There wasn't holy water being used. There wasn't relics being used. There wasn't other things that were being used. It wasn't a Catholic exorcism. It wasn't something out of a Benny Hinn thing. He said, go. And they were gone. They were gone. And you don't have to do that either. If someone is possessed, you don't have to have long, stupid, weird seances and go through and confess, have them confess every sin that they committed all the way back to when they were 3 years old and go through their whole life and do all these other things and have them reconstruct everything they've ever done in their life. That's from the pit of hell. That's all a charismatic show. It's all fake and it's from Satan. To try to take away from the miracle of God delivering people from their sins. When the very name of Jesus means he shall save his people from their sins. And that's the truth. It says go and they go. Now I want you to picture this. Here's the maniac, and then all of a sudden, you know, God, Jesus told them to go into that swine for another reason. So they knew that man was delivered, and they saw what was in that man. Because 2,000 hogs went running over a cliff. Mass crazy suicide in hogs. Fiercely running down into the water and killed themselves. 2,000 of them. Think about that for a second. If you were standing there and you saw that, Jesus says one word, go. Boom. Gone. You want to know why else Jesus let them go in that herd of swine? Because those people didn't want delivered to those devils. They wanted their devils. And Jesus knew it. In his foreknowledge, he knew what those people wanted. So he let them stay where they were at. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. So the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, get out! Leave! Get out of here, Jesus! Leave this place! We like our devils, you killed our hogs, you ruined our cash crop. We don't care if this man was tormented for his whole life, if he was killing himself, if he was ready to die, if he was in terrible place. We don't care. They didn't care. They just wanted Jesus gone. They wanted their money. Right? It says, and they that come to Jesus, and they came to Jesus, come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Man, they didn't pray, oh, Jesus, save our souls. They prayed, oh, Jesus, leave. Get out of here. But that's the opposite of what the man prayed that was possessed with the devils that was delivered. What did he pray? And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, let me go with you. And Jesus came into the ship, and he said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Why did Jesus do that? Because Satan was going to use, here's what happened. Satan had a stronghold there in that place. Right? He had a stronghold there. Thousands of devils right there, hanging out there, possessing people, causing mischief, encouraging sin and wickedness and vile, disgusting perversion and everything else, right? How the devil does in the cities and in the places. That's how he does it, right? You know what Jesus did in his mercy? He said, no, you go back there and you be a witness. You be a witness to the deliverance that I gave you. And you tell them how great things God hath done for you. You go back there clothed and in your right mind, and you preach to those people, and your life be a testimony to those people that Jesus Christ delivers men from sin. You go back there and you show them, you be a constant reminder that you're a disciple of Christ, a follower of the Lamb, that God was merciful to you. Right? You go back there. And you show them. What great things God has done for you. And that's why Jesus sent him back there. You wonder, why did he send him back there? Because he knew the devil was working back there to try to destroy the miracle and to snatch the word out of the hearts of those people, as the parable of the sower says. So Jesus said, you're going to be the best witness right there. You are the best witness you can be right there, because every day those people are going to look at you and say, aren't you that guy that hung out in those tombs up there that was possessed and crazy, never wore any clothes, cut yourself and did everything? Why, yes, I am that man. I was that man. But Jesus came and he said to the devils, go. And they went. And all, you remember all those hogs that were up there, 2,000 of them ran? That's what was in me. And Jesus saved me from that. Jesus saved me from that. Right? And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everyone. Could you imagine? Those people were running. What just happened? All our hogs are dead. That guy, he's clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But all those hogs ran violently down. You're not going to believe what happened. The whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. See, Jesus let the devil stay there because those people wanted those devils. They wanted them. Those devils went in the water. You know, those people in that town said, we would not have this man to rule over us because it's a territorial thing. You see, those people didn't want Jesus to rule over them. They wanted those devils. They didn't want Jesus. So those devils had a legal authority to them. They had a legal right to them. Those devils, all they wanted to do was destroy the miracle of deliverance. But Jesus knew it. He knew that it would draw more attention for that man to stay there than to take him out of there. He's like, these people are going to have to get up and they're going to see you every day of their lives and they're going to know what I did for you. Right? They're going to know what I did. So Jesus says this, you know what? Have you been given great deliverance in your life? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Have you been delivered from sin and the clutches of hell and damnation? And Jesus showed you your lost condition. Some preacher preached, you read a gospel tract somewhere. You were saved by the grace of God. And this is what Jesus says to you. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You know what? He obeyed. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. Right? All men marveled. They marveled at the great deliverance. That had been done. Those men prayed, depart out of our coast. That man prayed, Lord, let me go with you. And Jesus said, you stay here and you tell them the good things that God has done for you, the great things that God has done for you. Amen. Tell them of the deliverance that God has given you. You know what? That's our duty. Do you know that? You know, the Bible says that the spirit that Satan, he goes into people several, or he goes into people and out of people as he wills, right? It says that. It says, let's see, let's look up that term, children of disobedience. Children of disobedience, three times in the King James Bible. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. They have a spirit that goes into them and out of them, and they have no control over it. But when you get saved, those devils don't have control over you any longer. You're delivered from bondage. That's why I don't believe Christians can be possessed by devils. I believe that's charismatic garbage and nonsense from the pit of hell. I don't believe it for a minute. Can they be afflicted? Yeah, Paul was afflicted. Given a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. But he wasn't possessed. His soul was not possessed by devils. But what deliverance this man had, and what deliverance you and I have, is his deliverance any more miraculous than yours? No. But you know what? Just like Satan tried to thwart the miracle of that man's deliverance, he'll try to do the same to you. He'll try to thwart the effects of your salvation on others. What do I mean by that? He wants to muddy your testimony. He wants to snatch it out of people's hearts. He wants you to not share that. He wants the miracle of salvation that happened in you to not affect other people. The witness that you are, he doesn't want you to witness like that. He doesn't want you to be the strong witness. He doesn't want your life to be a witness of the manifold grace of God. He doesn't want that. Right? He doesn't. He wants to do the same thing to your salvation testimony that he tried to do to that man. Tries the notable miracle that had been done. Tried to do something about it. Let's see. Right? That's what he wanted to do. Why? Because he hates God. And if he can try to find a way to do that, he will. For sure.
Beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I dwell a while as he wash all my sins away.
Right. Well, anyway, I hope that was a blessing to you. Just getting back into the swing of things here. So we're about done here for today. But if any of you are listening for the first time, or maybe you haven't heard, listen for a while, you just want to say hi real quick, I'll give you a chance to do that before we get out of here. But we'll be back, Lord willing, on Friday. I think we're going preaching Saturday night at an event somewhere. Nearby here, so should be a lot of people there, should be thousands of people, so we're going to try to get out there and preach the gospel, hand out tracts, and do all that fun stuff. So you pray for us, that the Lord would bless and keep us safe and healthy as we serve him, and protect us while we're out there fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life. You pray for us out there. Quick question, are there any Old Testament instances of devil possession? Well, I haven't really thought about that too much. Not that I can remember. So I'd have to think about that for a little bit, that question that you asked. I don't know. I don't offhand, I don't remember anything. But you know, there may be. I just have to look at it. I'm not sure. But anyway, so good question, though. I'll think about that one, and I won't answer it yet. But anyway, so anybody else out there want to say hi? Yeah, I suppose Saul, you know, he could be one for sure. He definitely... Actually, the lady that brought up the unclean spirit, she probably would be considered one that was possessed. She was a medium, I would think so, or a psychic, or a medium, or a soothsayer, whatever. So I would say yes. I would say those are possessed people. So I would say so, probably. I would say the Witch of Endor was probably possessed. I mean, she did call up spirits and spoke through her voice or whatever. So yeah, I would say so. I would say that would be one of them. Specifically, yeah, I guess that would be one of them for sure. I think Friday would be, I'm not sure yet. It might be 11 a.m. Central Time, but if it's not, it'll be 2 p.m. Central. I don't know, or 1 p.m. Central. I might do it a little bit sooner, maybe 1. But, so on Friday, but we'll see. It'll be either 11 or 1. I'm just not sure yet about that, depending on my schedule and what I have done and finished for the day and all that good stuff. So anyway, let's see. Anything else? I'm trying to think. If you want to find our sermons, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, besides YouTube, you can find us there. There's sermons there that people can grab hold of and listen to. Let's see. Also, if you want to support our ministry, you can do that by PayPal. If you'd like to PayPal us, salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You could PayPal us if you click on give onto our sermon audio page, or you go directly to PayPal. You can send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Or you can mail something in to us if you choose to. Or you can do Apple Pay. Some people do that too. So here's the mailing address that you find right here in case you want to do that. We appreciate your prayers and thank you for them, and continue to pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord in truth and faithfulness. And thank you so much for all your prayers, and glad to be back. And we will talk to you all, Lord willing, on Friday.